The best show that no money can buy. The Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Oh, welcome back, everybody.
Hey now.
Corey and Joel back with you. It's another one of those shows you downloaded.
Absolutely.
There's people probably who have these that don't even realize how they got on their iPod.
No.
Like, what the fuck are these
They're
guys
still
doing
being...
Here?
I have an aggregator and it's still drawing
right.
Those out.
Like, they've got it on shuffle right now and...
Well, not everybody has built their own RSS feed.
No.
I built my own RSS feed in a hard drive.
Yeah, all right. We're going to try to not
In my brain, internally, in my cerebral cortex.
Corey and Joel, number 143, I believe.
Is that this week's show? All right.
I think so. It's a good number.
We usually give you the wrong title.
Yeah.
We give you the wrong number, right, and then we just rattle it off.
But anyway, these are your buddies playing, singing here, right?
Yeah, this is the new Electric Six album, which is called I Shall Exterminate Everything Around Me That Restricts Me From Being the Master.
All right.
So,
nice commercial hit there. They've got.
Yeah, they're going to really... That's going to fly off the shelves of Target with a title like that. But, they're good guys. They're on tour right now. I think they're in Denver.
The Electric Six from Detroit, affiliated very loosely with the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Yeah, I know.
Very loosely.
I know the rhythm section.
Sure. So. Welcome in, everybody.
And the singer, somewhat.
Singer, somewhat.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah.
There it is.
Tyler. Goes by the name Dick Valentine.
There it is.
We need stage names. That's what we need, Joel.
We
need to be the Electrifying Joe Bot or something. Yeah, yeah, something.
No, but that would be radio names that we would have, and we've gone over our radio names a million times.
Like K-Frog. Like
Wolfman Mac.
Wolfman Mac had to be Tadpole.
I looked that up. Yeah. That station still exists. Or you sent it to me, actually.
Right.
K-Frog in California that Wolfman Mac talked about last week.
Yes.
You can go and look. And they I guess they must retire the names.
Oh, do they?
Like, there was no Lily Pad or Tadpole at the
but
moment.
But if you tune in from 5 to 8, you can hear James Pond.
Yeah, there's something like
in the
that.
The Afternoon Drive.
Yeah, exactly. So so they're still there. No, we were going to be Dago and the Schnoz. That were going to be
our
names.
Well, that's true.
I was going to be Dago, being Italian, and you were going to be the Schnoz, because
I have
look at
a
you.
Big nose. Yes.
Yeah. So, but we never did that.
No, well, we reserve the right to be wacky whenever we need to be. Maybe we'll Dago and the Schnoz coming at you in the morning. Woohoo!
Maybe we'll get hired on K-Frog.
Wonk, 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 wonk. Whoa, it's wacky time.
Maybe we'll get hired on K-Frog, and we'll
Absolutely.
Have frog names.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Jump into the lily pad and see my nuts. I'm pulling nuts. I'm dropping balls. Oh, I don't know if they do that on the morning show.
Probably not.
All right.
All right.
We have a guest today.
Yeah, we do. This is part of Halloween week two, actually.
Yes, we've Halloween's gotten so out of control bloated that we did two Halloween-related shows.
Yeah.
And our guest today is annoyed that he came after Wolfman Mac, but...
I would be too.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Let me introduce you to a gentleman who has many, many talents and many accomplishments in a... weird sphere.
You're not going to cry, are you?
No, I'm not. But he's preeminently known as a paranormal investigator.
Only in this circle.
Okay. All right.
Only in this circle you're a paranormal investigator?
You're known by...
Only in this circle am I preeminent.
Many hats, although I don't think I've ever seen you wear a hat. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Tenney.
Yes.
Here he is.
John Tenney. Thank you. Yeah.
So here's my comment that I had.
Yeah.
About that I was talking to you about before the show.
Before the show?
Yeah.
About the first drop.
What drop?
We haven't even played a drop.
We haven't even played a drop.
The intro, the very first sound.
Rob Rose, yes.
Who has commented that sounds like the Corian Joel radio show?
The best show that no money can buy. The Corian Joel radio show.
You know, it kind of does sound.
It sounds like it's just a Korean guy named Joel.
Corian Joel radio show. Well...
Hey, welcome to Korean Joel. I don't even know what Korean. I can't do it without doing a bad Chinese.
It's cracking me up. I've heard it three times now. Every time it's just as funny.
That came at the end of a long recording session for Rob where he's basically, he's basically.
You're listening to Korean Joel Radio.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Well, all right. Well,
you're listening to the Korean Joel Radio Show.
Okay, we got bok choy recipe.
Lots of Electric Six tonight on the show.
I'm sure he'll be nice and proud that his professional voicing talents have been critiqued by you.
We call him One Take Rose because he's usually very smooth.
Yeah.
And I don't think we even noticed that.
It's just the flow of words. It's just the it's not him.
Sure.
Korean Joel on the next.
All right, there it is.
So anyway, John Tenney is, God, you've done a lot of things, like running for mayor of Royal Oak.
I did. I lost.
You lost?
Miserably.
A publisher, a store owner, a jack of all trades.
My business went bankrupt.
Yes.
I've done a lot, and I've failed a lot.
Yes, okay. You have.
But I don't stop.
But one thing you're successful at is these paranormal lectures that you give all around the state. And
that's even somewhat doubtful that I've been successful in that.
All right. Well, but you've been doing it for a while. It's called selling. I'm trying to pipe you. I'm trying to.
I know. I understand. It's
you're
just,
here because you're supposedly successful.
I am successful at it. The problem is that I don't wear a shirt from Ghostbusters 2.
No, is that the problem? No.
That is the problem. The problem is that if you
just came out stage to this,
if you. Yeah. See, people love that.
Right. Yeah, that's, do they?
This is what they want.
This is what they want.
They don't want
like
me
this?
To come out on stage and be serious and talk.
No. They don't want that. They want goofiness.
They want you.
They want Ray Parker Jr.
They want you to pull up in the Ecto-1.
Right. They want Ernie Hudson
Slimer.
To come out and tell them.
That's a big Twinkie.
Right.
That's what they want. They don't want you. Well, actually, it's believed that certain weather balloons.
They want me to come out with a piano and just tinkle the two notes.
Yeah.
And tell them ghosts hate that.
Exactly.
That's all they want.
So she sleeps over the covers. 6 feet above the covers.
All right.
Yeah. So
you did that. So, but you do you do ghost research.
I have for almost 15 years.
Yeah, I've known you for probably 20 years.
Right. And
in full disclosure.
Okay.
But
and it's not just ghosts.
Yeah.
It's everything. It's secret societies, conspiracy theory, alternate history.
Yeah, I've seen your lectures, and you cover a wide array of topics.
I do, from lizards controlling the earth.
Okay.
To ghosts. Fantology, I like to call it.
What's that?
Fantology.
It's the study of the fantastic?
It's the study of phantoms.
Oh, okay.
If you want to talk about in general, I call it heterodoxical phenomena.
Oh, and this is why people aren't coming out.
No, that's why.
Is that why?
If I call myself Super Ghost Chaser,
right?
Then they're everywhere. I'm selling out all
Super
over the world.
Super Ghost Chaser on the Korean Joel Radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what do you actually, you say you talk about all these things and you give these lectures, and who shows up for these things?
It depends. If I do a library, I talk to a lot of libraries, a lot of universities.
Okay.
And usually the libraries target it toward teens, younger kids.
Okay.
And crazy people, I think.
Really?
Because, yeah, because there's about a 20 to 30 12-year-olds who are very interested in what their parents told them about the X-Files.
Sure, yeah.
And then 4 or 5 guys that have seen aliens change into bathroom doors in their house.
Okay, yeah. So there's, all right.
But as for what I said about Super Ghostbuster, that's what people want.
People want that?
Yes, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah.
If you and Larry Storch and a gorilla went around in a Jeep, then people would be excited about it? Is that what really?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That was the original Ghostbusters.
People want tinfoil hats. They want my website to have drippy, bloody fonts.
Yeah.
And bad animations of ghosts dancing on top of muffins.
Sure.
And
I want that.
I enjoy looking at it, but if I'm doing any kind of research,
well, you
that's
know,
not
Wolfman
what I want.
Max website has that. So if that's you want true. That, you can go over there. Yeah.
Back in the house.
Yeah.
But
kids, it's Wolfman Mac.
Tadpole.
We're talking to a nutty ghost hunter today, the Super Ghost Chaser guy.
Yeah, great.
So you do these lectures, and why? But tell people at home that don't really know what you're talking about, some of the things that you investigate, some information that you've gleaned in 15 years of research.
When I do a lecture earlier off the show, I was talking about I don't form any kind of actual opinion. I go in, I look at the facts, I research, I study. A lot of things that people don't realize is when you're a ghost investigator, you actually have to do some kind of research. You don't just run around in a field with a flashlight at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, crap. Well, that's what I was looking for.
And that's what most people are looking for.
But you have done that. You've done
I did do that. I did do that a long time ago when I first started because I didn't understand what I was trying to do. Yeah. And what I was trying to do was create a record for people to look at so that they could say this is an unbiased, untarnished record of a historical fact, and these are things that we can rely on. It doesn't help the community at large, if you're wearing a Ghostbuster t-shirt mm-hmm. and smoking in a cemetery, taking a picture and then saying, oh, look, we got a misty cloud on the photograph itself.
Yeah, what? There's a lot of attempts to be visual identification of ghosts, and they usually look like a blur on the camera.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. It's like UFO photographs. UFO photographs should be getting better. As technology right. becomes yeah. better, our photographs should get better.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think, but they become worse.
Okay.
And the majority of the time, if I do research into anything, if it's a UFO, if it's a ghost, if it's a haunting, whatever anybody wants me to research, one of the main things I tell people is film cameras. Use film cameras, because the point of doing research is to gain as much evidence as possible. And with a digital camera, you lose evidence. You lose the negative.
Okay.
You can't take a digital camera apart and look and see if there's a light leak inside. You can't okay. look at the negative and see if there's something wrong, if there's an emulsion smear on it.
All right.
A digital camera is easily manipulated through Photoshop. Everybody's got Photoshop.
Okay, yeah.
Just a downloaded BitTorrent copy
now,
of Photoshop.
I've actually seen photos of Joel with hot stripper girls.
Those can be altered. Those are untouched.
Really?
Would you like to investigate those, John?
I'll investigate those after the show.
I will give you those, and you can look.
Are those available
determine.
Online?
I would make them available to you.
I saw a photograph of a porno actress grabbing Joel's crotch.
Yes.
And I don't think that was retouched.
I do investigate things as weird as that.
It was touched once. I don't think she touched it twice.
It wasn't retouched.
But
yeah, it was
thank
touched.
You.
But, you know.
All right.
Oh, wow.
All right. So, but the point is, though.
That did sound Korean.
Did it?
It kind of you know, did.
When you're saying that no one has a good picture of a ghost.
Yeah.
Or at least, I mean, is that what you're willing to say? It seems like you're going that way.
I'm willing to say that when you go online and when you look at ghost hunter websites.
Yeah.
And that's what they are, the ghost hunters.
Okay.
Even when I started doing this, I called myself a ghost hunter.
Yes.
You're degrading the field of research by calling yourself a ghost right. hunter. So when you go to their sites and you see these pictures, you can't help but think these are just the photographs that people would have thrown away because something went wrong.
Okay.
There's a giant light smear. There's a giant blur on the camera. Sure. Now those have become ghosts.
Okay.
And it's wrong.
All right. So does that mean that ghosts don't exist then if there's no...
I have no idea.
You have no idea. So
like
you're,
I said,
you're,
I,
you spend 15 years looking into the subject. You come on a show and you've got no idea.
What
are some things you personally experience?
Terrible, horrible. No. When I was 15, the first time I saw any kind of thing that I couldn't explain, which was a strangely enough, whenever I tell this story,
it was a tranny at Noir Leather, and you
that I did work there, and that is something strange that I saw, but but easily explainable being in Royal Oak at that time.
Right.
I did see, and I always catch a lot of flack for saying this. I did see, in the movie Predator, when it goes into camouflage mode.
Yes.
I did see something like that in a person's house, where you could see the outline, the shape of the body, but it looked almost as if it was a moving water.
Okay.
But it was what? It was water? It was a...
No, it was
a haunted
it was
house
non-corporeal. It was something that had the shape of a human form, but you could see through it, but you could see the light reflecting and refracting off of it.
And what was it?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, what? How? Describe it.
It looked like a human that was invisible.
So it was human size?
It was human size. It had arms and legs and a head. That was the first time I ever saw anything that I couldn't explain, and it scared the shit out of me.
And you saw this in was it daylight in the house?
Broad daylight in the house.
In a house.
In a house. I heard something coming downstairs. I waited. I was scared because I had just walked through the house, and I knew that no one was in the house but me.
Okay.
I got, I listened.
What was the house? Was this your house?
It was in Royal Oak, actually.
Okay.
A friend of mine knew that I was interested in this type of stuff, told me to get rid of something that was in her house.
Okay.
So I went there, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was about 17 at the time, and, I still to this day can't explain it. I would like to be able to say it was my imagination.
Right. It was that.
Imagine a man
in
Royal Oak.
Really?
16 years old and stoned on the pot.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe
never.
So you're telling me you saw...
Never done any investigations. Never. And I hate when I go to, I've been at investigations before where there are other groups, other people who are drunk, who are on some kind of pills, who are on hallucinogens and mushrooms, and they're,
sure.
they see all kinds of
they're
in it for the freak out.
Yeah, right.
And like I said, that really tears down what I'm trying to do and what I think real researchers are trying to do.
All right, but so that's not so anybody, like a lot of people, like when they were maybe teenagers or especially girls, will have a sleepover and they'll have like a Ouija board and they'll ask it weird questions.
Sure.
And that is that how you does that anything to that?
It's absolutely
phenomenon.
Not
there's nothing to that.
To Ouija boards or anything like that. It's a muscular phenomena that happens. You're not conscious of doing it. You
okay.
push it subconsciously in a certain direction, and the freak out begins. And of course,
you
this
get
is,
high, Joe.
Yeah,
yeah. 11 and 12 year old girls doing light as a feather, stiff as a board, and lifting each other up. And this is something. This also ranges into like Phenomena, which is a show that's coming on soon.
Yes,
Chris Angel and Uri Geller.
I've actually talked. Did I talk about that show last week?
Now, Joel has that private. Joel has an interest in magic.
I do too.
From some of the books,
I have many magic books, and that's only the ones I put out. So.
I am a member of the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
Oh, well, they're very good. Oh, okay,
really?
There you go.
I am.
And
I
magician.
Am.
Now,
you guys are way gayer than I thought.
A background of yours, because oftentimes magic and magicians, especially, will investigate these things.
Sure.
As a way, because I think a lot of magicians feel like they're frauds. And therefore, but at least they're honest about it and they admit that they're frauds, or at least most of them will say that they are just illusionists or they're clever sleight of hand guys. I mean, Houdini went through that, where he spent many years of his life debunking
everything.
People,
sure.
Yeah. And Penn and Teller have done this. And some people, like, you know, David Blaine still contends that he actually has real powers,
sure.
Which is, you know,
sure.
A lot of magicians have a problem with
he's
that.
He's got real powers.
No, he doesn't. Well,
he's got the power to get people to watch his show.
Yeah,
and he's got the power to get extraordinarily hot chicks.
Hot. All
right, well,
they're hot.
Yeah,
that's not the power.
Josie
Maran.
I mean, he's got some magical. Okay.
And he gets people in England to throw shit at him while
well,
he's
yeah,
locked
that's
in a
hard.
Box over the
I'm
river.
But he's got pussy hypnosis. I've never seen
a lot of magicians.
That guy's got amazing skill.
This is my point. A lot of magicians like to debunk these things because they know that they're fake.
Right.
And so that they didn't come to it from that perspective, or how did you? If that's not one of the reasons you're doing this, and why? What got you into this?
One of the reasons that I joined the International Brotherhood of Magicians. One of the reasons I've always been interested in magic, and when I started to apply that to my research, it had to do with the fact of I wanted to be able to tell when I was experiencing or seeing something that wasn't easily explainable. There are people who will use magic. Obviously, as you were just saying, that Houdini doing spirit wrappings or table lifts or stuff like that.
And that's still done today if you go to psychic.
Very, very
like
much
Wolfman
so.
Mac was saying he went to a psychic, and they were probably doing some sort of cold reading minimally on him, if not.
A bullshit artist.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. And you know, right. And I was trying to explain, I didn't want to get all into it with Mac.
Yeah.
That psychics will use a lot of parlor tricks to make them think they're actually reading your mind.
What about John Edward and not the
cold readings?
Not the Huckleberry that's running for president.
No, Joel knows about that.
Yes.
It's cold readings. It's generalizing. Yeah. It's looking at someone, knowing what a 30-year-old woman has gone through, or a 30-year-old man. It's cold. Now, Max Maven continues to get shows, and I don't know. That's a magic trick in and of itself.
I went to a Max Maven show the last time he was in town.
They're pretty incredible.
He did, you know what? Max Maven is a mentalist who, you know, a mentalist is essentially a magician who uses different props aside from what a standard magician would use and makes them believe. It's more of magic of the mind, however you want to put it. But it's a lot of the same tricks that psychics and other people will use to make you think that they have special powers. Uri Geller was essentially a mentalist.
He was a mentalist.
You know, he did spoon bending and all those things, which are basically sleight of hand.
That cracks me up about this Phenomena show with Chris Angel and Uri Geller. Basically saying, here are two magicians trying to find the world's top psychic.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
But Uri Geller never admitted anything.
Still doesn't. Has coins from Mexico in his pocket that he astral projected to get. Makes no sense. There's a great story about Uri who was, someone said, prove that you can.
I'm going to duck.
He's going to, just go ahead. Just go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Said,
let Corey cough.
Prove that you can do something that's psychic, that has to do with psychic phenomena.
Sure.
So Uri was sitting on a couch and he closed his eyes. And he opened his eyes about 30 seconds later, and he said, I went to Mexico spiritually. I astral projected to Mexico, and my proof is that I have 10 pesos in my pocket.
Wow.
Wow. Now that is amazing.
Holy
amazing.
Shit.
Yeah, Uri Geller's been exposed. But so then if you don't believe in any of this stuff, and it seems to me that you haven't haven't found any reason to believe in anything to this point.
Now, couldn't El Dorado from Super Friends astral project, wasn't that his power?
Was that his power?
Well,
you want to take a break? Take a break. Go ahead, Corey. I'll talk to John. But I mean, if you don't believe in any of these things, so far you haven't said that you believe in any of these things, or you've seen evidence that any of these things are actually true, then why do you continue to investigate these things?
Well, I'm open-minded enough to say that I can't figure everything out.
Okay.
I do want to know what the answers to certain questions are. I mean, I think everybody has a deep subconscious understanding of life and death, and they want to get into that, and they want to figure it out, and they want to know if there's something after, if they just die and they're in a box. But I think that a lot of times I'm not a skeptic. I don't go into it disbelieving, but I don't go into it believing as well.
Right. So, I mean, but don't you think at this point, after 15 years, you'd kind of realize that there's nothing there?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
No,
not at all.
15 years
not
and you still believe.
Not at all.
You well, still think that
15
there's...
years, but you if you think about the time that I spend doing lectures and doing research, that's like 20 minutes. No, I'm...
I don't know.
I mean, there's so much out there. When you start to say...
all right, so what are some compelling...
When you start to...
What compels you then? What makes you believe that these things are true then?
I mean, when you look at this massive, award-winning, scholarly, scientific studies, and the scientists say, you know, we've been researching quantum mechanics, and we've been looking at string theory,
yes.
and we believe that there may be an infinite number of universes.
Yes.
That opens everything up if you wanted to start to even form a belief system that includes ghosts in it.
Okay.
Because if there are an infinite amount of universes that exist,
yeah,
then in one of those universes, ghosts will exist, and how do we know that that is not this universe?
Well, I just find it, I think that...
Now, is that like in the alternate universe where Spock has a goatee and is evil? Is that what you're talking? You're saying there's multiple universes.
There are.
There actually has. I did read recently that there was.
This goes on for a long time.
Spock universe. No, but there was where everyone was Spock.
Yeah.
There was some research into alternate universes, and there was somebody is claiming now that there is proof of an alternate universe.
Right.
I don't know. That proof is.
There's an alternate universe in which Joel and I are the most successful radio personalities in the world.
I thought I was in that universe right
now. Well, you know, with this show.
To certain guys, yes.
Go right over the
we
top.
We are the biggest radio stars in
now,
Perth, Australia.
Now, which guys?
To guys in Perth,
about
Australia.
About six guys, yeah. All
Iceland. Frankfurt, Germany.
Yellowknife.
Yeah, number one.
Yellowknife.
Yeah.
Where's Yellowknife?
It's in the Northwest Territories of Canada.
I don't know if that exists or not.
Yeah.
Honestly, turn north and follow the smell of Yeti shit.
Yeah, it's above the Arctic
and
Circle.
You'll find it eventually.
But we're big up there. Anyway, but my point is this, though. You do
us
these investigations.
Muckluck Magoo.
But people come to you looking for answers. They want proof of these things.
People want...
So isn't that your job to give that to them? Because
my job is to ease their minds as to... First of all... if you look at the scientific, if you look at factual, hard scientific, you know, the method that's been used to look at ghosts, look at UFOs, there is most definitely something there.
Really?
There is.
Okay.
Even the government with doing Blue Book in the 60s, spending millions of dollars and hiring people to investigate with the full resources of the United States government behind them. You know, if they look at 3,000 cases, they can explain away, you know, 2,500. And then they say there's 500
okay.
left. There's absolutely no way using the scientific method that we can call them anything but unknown.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got UFOs
well,
there.
You know, one thing I think that fuels the conspiracy angle is that when I was actually, I was a kid in like eighth or ninth grade, I did a report.
Right.
It was like a research paper. You know, I was supposed to write a research paper. And I did about UFOs. And I went down to the Detroit Public Library, and in the archives, they had Project Blue Book.
Right.
Which came out to be about, I don't know, 600, 700 pages that were kind of loosely tied together in manila envelopes. And about 300 of those pages were completely blacked out and redacted.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and so it's like whenever you try and get to the heart of the matter, whenever it involves the government, that was the government project to study the UFO phenomenon in the 60s.
Right. If there's no... I mean,
but then people go, what's all these pages of blacked out stuff? What's going on here?
Well,
and there is an old there's an old saying. I learned it when I first started doing this stuff when I was, you know, 17, 18 years old, when I really began researching. And there's, if there's no body, then there's nothing to hide.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. If there's no dead body, then there's nothing to hide. So what are you hiding unless there's a body?
I mean, the thing about UFOs is my problem with UFOs is that people, if you can't identify something, and you certainly can't identify, and there's things that we can identify that maybe the normal person would know what it is.
Right.
They look at the sky and they don't know what it is.
Exactly.
But you know what? You can't make the leap that it is a spaceship from another planet.
Sure.
And I think anyone that does that is I mean, I don't know that there's any reason to investigate things in the sky. Because what they're not spaceships.
All
I mean,
of them,
I think
all of them.
Yes,
aren't,
I can say with 100% certainty they're not spaceships.
They're not.
Well, they don't exist.
How do you know?
Because if they existed, we'd have evidence that they exist, and there's no evidence that they exist.
There's
you
evidence.
Know, I mean, it's what's the evidence?
Well, here's,
I'm processing
here's
the evidence
the,
right now.
Shut up.
Here's the thing. What is not the evidence that it
well,
doesn't
I mean,
that,
okay,
that you don't have?
If
evidence?
I see something flying through the night sky,
okay,
it's probably not a cow. Can you, we agree
no,
on that?
No, I can absolutely agree on
you
that.
You say that it's not a cow.
Absolutely.
What if it's a cow?
But
that's
I,
being,
have, I say
you're
it,
sure
I,
it's not a cow.
I
are
say
you sure, are you sure it's not a
no.
cow?
No.
You're not.
I'm not.
But you're thinking it's probably not a guy.
But I'll tell you this. I say this at my lectures.
Yeah.
If a civilization is advanced enough to transverse space and time itself, the vast distances of our galaxy,
yes,
and find our little blue dot, like Carl Sagan, the little blue speck,
right,
in the middle of nothingness,
okay,
you will not spot them standing in your backyard.
Okay.
They don't have lights. They will not hit deer when they're flying
well,
through space. They don't.
So that's
need
kind
headlights.
Of a counter to the Bill Hicks joke where he says, "Why is it that the only people who see UFOs are the stupidest hillbillies possible?"
Well, and we know. For,
all they,
well,
why don't they show up in town?
We know that the government did in the 1970s tell all of the major stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, you will not interview anyone about UFOs who has over a high school education.
That's true. That there
is
was,
that's
there was,
absolutely true.
Why now? Why did they do that?
Because when Alan Hynek, who they hired during Project Blue Book to investigate UFOs,
yes,
who was a professor of astronomy in Chicago, when he was given the full resources of the government to investigate UFOs, and later came back and formed the Center for UFO Studies, they realized that they were going to have problems because you're going to have learned professors, you're going to have learned scientists talking about the possibility that there really is UFOs and there really is extraterrestrial, yes, intelligence. And the government said, don't put these people on the air.
Well,
but let's not worry because we know that Rudy Giuliani has a plan for alien invasion.
Well,
I heard about that today and I didn't read it.
It was great. He was doing it like a town hall.
Did he do a Reagan thing?
A kid who was about 8 or 9 came up to him and asked him, if something it comes from space and is bad, well, how will we deal with it? And his thing was like, well, we're planning for everything.
Well,
you know, it was simple.
But getting back to the point about how you know they're not spaceships, is that spaceships, we don't know that spaceships exist. I mean, they could be whatever, you know, people would like there to be spaceships, and I understand that mindset.
Right.
But
we,
it's
we
different.
Do know.
You can't make the leap to saying that is a spaceship.
But we do know that spaceships exist. We know that ships exist that travel from planet to planet.
How do we know that?
Because we have them.
Well, we have them, but
right,
it doesn't
so,
mean anyone else has them.
But, I mean, you just said that they don't exist.
Well, they exist, but that's,
okay,
that
exist,
would not be...
Okay, they exist now for us,
from an,
but
from
for
an,
no
from
one else.
Okay. But, I mean, let's say that what people are seeing is a rocket.
Okay.
From NASA, or it's an experimental plane from the government.
Most probably.
So the government should tell you that this plane is flying overhead.
I understand secrecy. I understand keeping things from people. That's absolutely no
so
problem.
So if the government isn't going to be honest about what's flying for military reasons, shouldn't that stop the government conspiracy theories? Because if there's a reason for them to make those things up, and it's a logical reason, such as
that it's top it's secret new technology, military projects.
Wouldn't that be reason enough to just sort of let those things go?
Sure. I mean, most definitely. If the government,
I think a reasonable person could understand that.
I'm completely on board with
my,
you.
My
on
thing
that.
Is, if the government is developing these extraordinarily sophisticated airplanes,
right?
What are we waiting them for? What are we saving them for?
If all I have to say is this,
you know,
as
couldn't
a,
they have knocked
person,
out Iran
as a
in
person,
10 minutes if they had stuff that moved at, like Mach 12?
I know this is a comedy show.
Yeah.
So I'll just say this.
Sure.
Sometimes it's
a comedy show.
My teeth are terrible.
You have some
your
busted
teeth are
ass.
Terrible?
My teeth
snaggle
are terrible.
Right.
And let me just say this on Corey's what he just said about if they have that if they have that technology, they need to use it to get the teeth fixed in my head. Other than
let's
just
get a laser
other than just drilling them and yanking them out with a wrench. They need to get some technology into my even. I don't care if it's secret
we
technology.
We just send nanoprobes into your teeth.
I mean, I think there is technology that could probably fix your teeth.
But they don't allow me to have it.
Well, you can't afford it, possibly. Is that a possibility?
I most definitely can't afford it.
Yeah, so there you go.
But they should still at least tell me that option. I mean,
they have no
problem showing you cars that you can't afford and houses you can't afford.
Sure.
Show me the technology to fix my crappy, busted-ass, brittle, peanut-brittle teeth.
No,
clearly, they must have some working hair replacement technology that doesn't shrivel your dick into a raisinette. That's what I want.
But we're way ahead of other nations when it comes to teeth. I mean, our teeth are the best teeth in the world.
Really?
I think so.
Is that supported factual evidence?
You've got nothing.
I think there's
on that.
Anecdotal evidence to say that Americans have better teeth than, say, the British. Certainly, I would think we would have.
They're smaller.
Better teeth than most of the Asian countries.
They're
I would think
smaller teeth. I mean, than the British, right?
Well, and maybe that
most of the
is
Western,
that a better or worse thing? I mean,
I think they can
chew through iron.
We have things like fluoridated water, which then there's conspiracy theories about that.
It's
so
terrible.
I mean,
fluoridation is terrible.
Now you're saying fluoridation is wrong.
I'll tell you,
it's
one thing we do have. We probably have a bigger toothpaste industry.
Well, whatever. Yeah, we have
I don't think
toothpaste. Like,
Grand Rapids, just as a side note to that, was the first city in America that had fluoridated water system. No other country in the world has a fluoridated water system.
Okay.
We have the highest, well, we don't anymore, actually. China just surpassed us this year, but we have the highest cancer rate of any country in the world. The first time that fluoridated water systems were used, it was used in the German concentration camps. It comes from the Alcoa company who galvanizes aluminum, blah, 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 blah. Chlorofluoridation is a base metal runoff of galvanized aluminum. Real fluorine exists naturally in the system. Chlorofluoride, which you find in toothpaste and in the water, actually strips bones of calcium. It puts it on your teeth because they're exposed, but it takes it out of the rest of your bones. It causes osteoporosis.
Okay, so that's...
Sorry, that's where
so
the conspiracy there
is bad.
Most people will tell you that,
so
yes.
You say you don't drink a municipal water.
I do drink municipal water.
And you
I
still have
not.
Shitty teeth?
I have terrible teeth.
Well, I don't know.
But, you know, the point is, if you drink bottled water, it's more than likely going to be just bottled municipal water.
Yeah, of course.
They would take the fluorine out.
No.
They would take fluoride out of a municipal water. Yeah, they would.
No.
That's what that would be what they would filter the municipal water.
Unless you're drinking Evian or something.
Well, no, I like Aquafina is filtered municipal water.
It has fluoride in it.
It may or may not, yeah. I don't know.
How many microns per, you know?
There's enough fluoride in a tube of toothpaste.
How much filtering would you have to do to get rid of it?
I don't know. The only actual content that I know.
Look,
wait,
I'm
stop
sorry.
For a second. Listen,
listen
if, I'm trying to tell you.
15 years of research.
I'm trying to tell you if
God
you
damn
want.
It.
And I'm not advocating this. If you want to kill a child of less than 30 pounds.
Yeah.
You can feed them a normal sized tube of Pepsodent.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll kill them.
There's enough fluoride in there to kill.
Okay, that would be cruel. I mean, that would be
I'm not advocating the killing of a child.
You're just saying.
I'm just saying.
If a toddler needed killing.
If there's a distraught mother.
Right.
And she were to kill a child under 30 pounds.
Let's say he's broken.
Like
he's got the Down syndrome or something. You know what I'm saying? He's a bit of a tard kid.
No, wait a minute.
Then you could make him eat
the
fluoride.
I thought I was saying something controversial. Corey took it over the edge.
Corey, we want to give our listeners baby killing advice.
you can consider this my retirement from comedy.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And in the future, if I want to say something funny or witty or do an impression, I will no longer ever do any of those
Corey's
things.
Corey's not going to do that. All right, but fluoridation is bad. That's what you're saying.
It has a very negative impact on the human body.
But maybe you'd have good teeth then if you embraced the fluoride.
I would also have good teeth if I had good genetics. My family has terrible
teeth.
You have
bad... Okay.
My mom's teeth break when she drinks water.
Okay.
Which is filled with
fluoride. Which is filled with fluoride. Exactly. I think we figured out the water debate. Exactly. All right. So.
And she's Polish, so I mean, it has a lot to do with the fact that she's drinking water out of a concrete cup.
Here's a question then that I have... just purely about you giving lectures, and that is, if you were to, how do you advertise your lectures? First of all, what do you say about them? Do you make any? I mean, you must make some sort of spiel.
You know, when
to get people to show up, or there's something in your publicity materials that people will use to publicize.
Yeah. When I first started doing lectures, I paid to do them. I would rent out the room. I'd bring cookies and coffee and just flyer the town like crazy.
Okay.
And after doing that for 5 or 6 years, eventually the librarians would started calling me, and then people would show up, and then professors started calling me, and they would have me come into their classes and talk about political assassinations of the 1960s and 70s, secret societies, things like fluoride.
Because there's an inexhaustible desire for people to listen to this stuff.
People love listening
to
it.
But how do you sell yourself? Are you making claims that you are going to expose things? Are you?
No, I've seen you in nightclub venues, and I think you actually would be better off doing more of a like bar nightclub thing more occasionally, because you get a different audience. It's more of an entertainment thing.
It's very much,
and that you sell that in a different way. You do go, ooh, the spooky world of the unknown.
Right. When I do a nightclub, when I do the Magic Stick, or if I do a bar, the last thing one I did was in Berkeley, Berkeley, Michigan, and you know, I sold it as, find out if reptiles are running the world. Very, you know, National Enquirer, Weekly World News, explosive, just crazy, the craziest things that you can imagine to get people in. And people come, you know, did we go to the moon, you know, find out, see the robot head on the moon. And people want to see the robot head on the moon.
Okay.
But like I said, you know, this is, when I do a lecture, In a venue like a bar, it can tend to go wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I leave microphones in the crowd because I want to engage people in conversation. I don't want to just lecture them. I don't know everything. I don't presume to know everything. I want to hear people's ideas. I want to exchange, and I want to construct ideas with them when they come to a lecture. But the problem is when you do it in a bar, I had a woman who came up to the microphone and said, "Mr. Tenney, I have a question." And I was like, "What's your question?" She said, I gave you my number.
Yeah,
at a bar 2 weeks ago, and you never called me.
Okay,
you know, so that all of a sudden everything's drawn back down.
When you advertise, though, if you were,
why
to
didn't
say,
you? Because she was, I saw her. She was attractive. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Is that what
a little bit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Before this, and then we're gonna take a break. We've been going a long time, but here's my point. If you advertise them, say, because you're saying you don't have the answers to these things,
right?
And you can't confirm the existence of spaceships or ghosts or any of these things that we've discussed. If you advertise it as...
I try and...
But I'm saying the people that show up must want to believe. I would doubt that skeptics are real big fans of this.
I get a lot of skeptics. I bill them more or less as, it's come to this, let's think about things that you don't normally think about.
Okay.
That in your day-to-day life, when you're just, everybody's busy, just paying bills, just making ends meet.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to be able to go out to a library or a bar or something, and you don't have to scream over the music.
Yeah.
You don't have to fist fight guys from state. You know.
We've done all this in live comedy.
Exactly.
Go green, go white.
Right, but exactly. You can just go and you can exchange ideas with a bunch of people who are thinking about crazy, in quotes, things.
Yeah. Right. But don't you think if you build it, and I know you're not purely a skeptic, you're not billing yourself that way, but don't you think the same lecture, if billed as pure skepticism, would have almost no audience? Do you agree with that or not? Because I believe it would.
I think that if you build it as pure skepticism, I would do better.
You think so?
I do.
Because I don't think anyone's interested in skepticism. Because if you don't believe it, why do I need somebody else to tell me I don't believe?
I think that people, if you build it as a skeptic, I'm going to disprove these things. I think that thousands of people would show up.
Because I believe that people come to people like you looking for evidence to back up whatever wacky beliefs that they have.
I've done.
And they want you to endorse their opinions. Corey, for example, believes that Kennedy was killed in a conspiracy.
Right.
Now, we're going to take a break, and maybe we can get into this later, but Corey
would
like evidence.
Because you sound as if you don't.
But Corey would ask you just as, like, you know.
Well, let's get into some specific topics when we come back.
But I'm saying my point is that
some issues.
I believe that's why people are drawn to this.
Are we?
They're looking for proof that these things actually exist, and to tell them they don't, I don't believe is sexy, and I don't believe that there's interest in that.
They're looking for evidence as to whether it does or does not exist. They want to know if they are or aren't wasting their time.
Okay.
All right.
I would tell people they are wasting their time, but then, but again.
When
not
we get
damaged,
you're taking
your
food out of my mouth.
I
with
understand that.
Hold
that.
On. When we come back, let's talk about a specific. Right. We'll talk about specific. We'll talk about assassinations.
Ugh.
We can talk about more UFO stuff.
Ugh.
We can talk about.
Can I moan after everything you said?
Sure. We can talk about TACMARS.
Ugh.
We can talk about why black people smoke menthol cigarettes. Ugh. Important yes. issues. We'll talk
Corey,
about when
Corey,
we come back.
Corey's doing a 30-city lecture on that topic.
Yes, I am.
So anyway,
why Newports are big in the hood?
Play the Electric Six, and we'll come back. Yeah, with more with John Tenney. Right, and you can plug your stuff too when we come back. We'll tell people how to get a hold of it. Closing is the gift of the night shift, and now you get to miss the goal. Okay, well, I just had an idea. I'm going to fade out the Electric Six. No offense to those guys. But rather than taking a break, here's what we'll do. We'll do a whole new show with John. We'll do a whole other hour. We'll call it Show 143 Part 2. And we'll get into the Kennedy assassination. I'm sure Corey and I will fight. Because it's very contentious. And we'll talk to John about a whole range of stuff. We'll eat more Toffee Fae. And that'll all be on Show 143, Part 2. The show continues with John Tenney on CoreyandJoelRadio.com or on iTunes. Make sure to get Part 2. It'll be fun.